In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God got into the habit of promising fairly early on. In his first evangelism call, he promised the serpentine Satan a massive headache. And that was a promise of deliverance for Adam and Eve, though they probably didn't concentrate on that part of the promise as they heard the curse upon themselves. But God just went on promising. He promised Abraham a family as numerous as the stars in the heaven. You know, it's so dry in Palestine. There's not much haze. You can see a heaven of a lot of stars at night. He promised Israel deliverance through this child named Emmanuel, as we have heard. One wish from his mouth and a couple of kingdoms vanish like an impenetrable wall that got full of holes overnight. The promise laughs away what gets in its way. And then the promise came to Israel, longing for deliverance. An angel loaded our text to the full when he said to Joseph, "He's on his way, this God with us." And because he came, Simeon could go in peace, because the skies had lit up for Gentiles like us, God's second hand chosen, but all the more precious for that. The promise was made flesh and dwelt among us, bringing light to the entire world, giving power to us to become children of God. And so the promise continues to dwell among us, not in temples made with hands, but through the Holy Spirit, who has chosen to take up residence in us so that our lives can light up the lives of those around us who are still in darkness, so that our lives can be places where people assemble to hear and experience the promise and the self-sacrificing love that becomes flesh in us as we repeat the promise and live it out. And at the end, the promise will still be determining and delivering reality. Just a month ago, I was at the Dies Academicus, the annual sort of scholarly conference that our sister faculty in Oberursel puts on. And the morning devotion on that Saturday was in the Johannesgemeinde next to the campus, and the local pastor preached with the text spelled out in the tiles in back of him. Those of you who've been in the Johannesgemeinde probably know the jokes about the sterile dentist office-like atmosphere there. It's all white, but it's got these beautifully crafted tiles in which Bible verses are set before you. And there, Pastor Hoen had behind him his text, Revelation 21:3. Look at this, God's little hut is here in the midst of us mortals, and he's pitching his tent with us as our God, and we will be his people, and he will be our God. A couple weeks ago, the first day of the quarter, I came late to chapel, and David Schmidt was saying the same thing from a Matthew text that day. As I came in, he was saying that darkness had come over the land. And in these dark and latter days, we indeed experience around us the forces of darkness as impenetrable as in Jesus' day. Each one of us feels the chill of the forces of darkness in a different way, but as hate and fear and abuse and exploitation are exemplified and embodied at the various highest levels of our culture, we know that the world can become ever darker in our experience. And then Professor Schmidt proclaimed the reaction of our Lord in the midst of darkness. "I reign," he says. "I'm in charge here." Jesus says to us, "I have not pitched my tent among you so that you could remain out in the cold in the shadows of darkness. I am with you to the ends of the world." And the Holy Spirit continues to make Jesus' presence real for us in the midst of his family. He's, here to talk and to comfort and to support and to protect. He's here to enjoy our company. Professor Schmidt warned us not to forget that he who rose and now rules will return. He admonished us to be waiting with anticipation and with the confidence that the one who rules and rose and reigns and is already making his home among us. Even though we still experience this little hut as a bit drafty and the lighting seems poor on some days. But the one who promises is here already and he's on his way. This is clear in our lives, and it's much clearer in his word. In his word, he assures us that the promise is being fulfilled in our midst, and also through our passing on the promise that Jesus, God with us, really is. It was at that point that I was going to say this is that's the way it is in this third week of Advent and all, but yesterday Matt Heise came to my office. He's a former student and a friend from many years of missionary work in Russia and those parts of the world, and he's now head of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, which publishes Luther's Small Catechism and all sorts of other Christian literature for use around the world. And we were talking because the congregation we belong to in Braunschweig has baptized about 100 Iranians, nothing compared to the Berlin congregation with some 1,300. But Matt was just back from Germany and talking about his experience with Iranians. And then this morning I get this little, it's a request for funding, I suppose. Didn't get that far. But it says it's got something that looks probably fancier than the manger really was. But it's the manger, and it says, in the bleakest situations, miracles can happen. And I thought yesterday about the stories Matt told from his Iranian friends, who have friends, who had friends, who left the cell singing hymns like Joy to the World as they were being taken to the executioner's block. This world is very dark, and we in North America have no idea how dark it can get. But those who are there in real darkness know how to sing joy to the world. We need to practice, because the promise is here, and it's real. He is real, and that's the way he and it is and are in this third week of Advent in our Lord's year 2016. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.